Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Yeah, you just tuned into Set for Success with your host, me, Richard Lannan. And we're going to continue our journey, and you know what journey that is, to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through having one conversation with one person at a time. So we uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve. It's Set for Success quote time. In every conceivable manner, the family is linked to our past and bridged to our future. Alex Haley said that. Now, if you don't know who Alex Haley is, this is a person who is widely known for his book and ministry on Roots and the autobiography of Malcolm X. Alex Haley was a writer whose works of historical fiction depicted generations of African-American lives. And what does this have to do with our chat today, our discussion today, our topic? Well, I guess it really has to do with family involvement. See, in the Eco's Canadian family business, there are parents and grandparents who may be helping their kids along the way. In Canada, small business makes up 97% of all businesses. Now think about that. Canada's a pretty big country. 97% of all businesses in Canada are small businesses. Granted, Canada does define small businesses as 500 employees or less. So that's pretty large in my books. And there are some books that the definition is like 250 people or less as the size of business. But my interest are the companies that maybe 12 employees or less, maybe only 5 employees or less, and they're owned by the kids of former entrepreneurs. Now think about that. Your kid goes out and gets a company, and now you may be helping them. Mommy and daddy didn't hand the business over to the kids. Instead, the kid came to the point in their lives and decided to start from scratch or maybe buy an existing business and run it themselves. I suspect some or little business experience might be had. Suddenly, the child or your child finds themselves in the world of small business learning and the hard lessons of business ownership. So, where can somebody's or someone's child go to for help in a newly formed or acquired enterprise? As a parent, my response has always been to mom and dad. Maybe you might even call it the bank of mom and dad, but that might not always be the case. Maybe the knowledge of mom and dad, the experience of mom and dad. I know that this might not be an option for everyone, and I do understand that, and I get that. But here's the thing. Once a parent, always a parent. So here's another great quote. Once a parent, always a parent. It is that life commitment. It is that time in your life that you really do help out your child no matter what they're doing. And I think that's probably what being a good parent is all about. So for our purposes, for this Set for Success show, we're getting to chat about, or we're going to chat about, kids' success in their small business. And my guest today is actually a friend of mine, John Hindle, who I've known over the last 8 years. He became my friend due to our interest in helping business people succeed. John has quite the background in business. We're going to find about that in just a moment because I'll have him explain it. Interesting enough, he has stepped up to help his kids where he can to be successful in their business, their career, and life. And that sounds like a full-time parent to me, or a full-time job in itself. So John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you on there. I hope you don't mind my little spiel there for a second. Tripped over a few things. John and I were talking before we started the show, and I actually forgot my glasses in the car, so I was reading stuff that was just a little bit blurry at times.
So you did pretty well.
I did okay. Well, that's good. Thank you. You're very kind. John, you know what? I know your history. I know your background and everything, but I think it's important that maybe we lay that out a little bit for our listeners before we sort of talk about parents helping their kids in their business. So let's give a bit of a summary in terms of your business background.
Well, the big thing in business, I guess, is when I decided one day I was visiting a friend in California, believe it or not, and I saw a baseball, and I was a baseball guy. And in the course of this conversation that night, I said, well, what if I bought some baseballs? And this guy said, if you buy, well, it was 100 dozen, he said, I'll give you the rights to sell my product in Canada.
Okay.
I had no idea what I was going to do with 100 dozen baseballs, but I shook his hand, and that's how my business started.
Yeah. So basically, you just bought the product and then went, oh my gosh, what do I do now?
And I had to go figure out a way. I had to figure out how to promote it, how to advertise it. So I really started from scratch because I wasn't thinking of running a business. I was just mad at the quality of baseball equipment we had in Canada. And that's how Home Run Sports was started. And Home Run Sports has since grown to a pretty big corporation. And it all started by selling this 100 dozen baseballs.
Well, there you go. So I am going to say this right away, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but it sounds to me like the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree on this one, because I know some of the backstory here.
Yes, well, I never thought, like, my dad wasn't a business guy. Yeah. I kind of fell into business. And my son wasn't interested in business, or certainly didn't seem to be, but I got this call about a year ago now, and he said, "Dad, I've just bought a bakery." And I said, "What? Say that again?" And he had this opportunity. He was living in a small town about an hour west of here. The bakery's in Treherne, Manitoba. And he said, "It came available. It's something I want to do. I want to work for myself." I mean, all the same reasons in some ways that I took such an interest in business. And I went and looked at the building, and we had a chat and whatever, but essentially his deal was already done. So I thought, at this point in time, I have a lot of knowledge of starting up a business. And then in my years with the Goldeyes, I had such a wide range of marketing, sales, promotion, food and beverage, whatever, that I had stuff to help him. What I had to figure out is, what help did he want from Dad?
Isn't that the big challenge for every parent, to figure out what help their child or kids really want from mom or dad?
Yeah. Hey, it's the biggest challenge. There's no doubt about it. It wasn't my business. It was his business. And yes, I could look at things and go, I think I could make that smoother or help in whatever area, but only if help is wanted. And you're always balancing in that fine line, waiting to see if you're going to be asked a question, because I had answers.
No doubt. Out of curiosity, and before we take a break, what do you think one of the key significant lessons that you've learned in business might have been?
Well, to stick with it. You have an idea. Sometimes an idea doesn't work immediately, but if you're persistent with it, tweak it, move it, it all of a sudden can be a great idea. And the other thing I'll think of, Richard, is the number one problem I see with people in small business is they're too busy working to manage. And that was certainly something I think you could see in a lot of small business.
So I think with that, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about stick with it, try not to be so busy working, and learn to manage your business, and how that might actually translate into helping out your son. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. You're hanging out with Richard Lannan, but you'd know that already. And maybe better say you're hanging out with my friend John Hindle. And John and I are talking about parents helping their kids out in business. Not giving the business to them, but when the kids actually start or buy their own business, and suddenly they got a company they got to run. And what do you do to help out? Now, John, one of the things we were talking about just before the break was the idea of stick with it, and the idea of working in your business versus managing your business. And maybe that's a good spot to start, you know, and what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I've done a little coaching with small business, and not the small business definition you had, but really small business,
like
one or two people. And I think that's the number one issue, is that they're so busy actually running, in this case, baking or selling to the customers when they come in, or packaging, ordering. I mean, you have to do that or you don't have a bakery business. But you're so busy working that you're not stepping back and taking those hours that you need to come up with the new ideas, or how are you going to promote or market your business. And I've tried to make suggestions. I've tried even to suggest you need to put 1 hour in your day, or in a week even at this point, and you're not going to do any work in that hour. What you think of as work, you're going to only think about new ideas. And that's hard. It's hard for them to
do. You know, it is really hard in, and you know, so I'm a parent too, so I get to watch my kids and their career and everything too. And they're all at the same point where they're more working in their careers as opposed to working on their careers. Does that make sense? Right?
Yeah.
I think that's where, or in their business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just little approaches, finding that extra hour a week to where you're actually thinking about your business, you know. Have you been able to coach? Is your son's name is Dalton, right?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Dalton. I hope you're doing well. I don't mind saying hi to you. It's great meeting you out at your bakery, and you bake great food. Love it. Have you been able to find ways to work with him as father and son to help him sort of start to think about, you know, his business?
Oh, I'd like to think we have.
Okay.
I'm sure there's times when he doesn't want any more suggestions, and I try not to.
That's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it's
very hard. Very hard for a parent.
But I'm sure there's things I have been able to suggest that he, sometimes it's a question of them processing for a day or two, because initially they want to do it on their own. They want to have their own ideas. I totally get that.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
In fact, it's good.
I've never run a bakery, so it is different. And I also want to say hi to my daughter-in-law, Caitlin, because she's actually the primary baker in this building. So they're working together.
Yes.
So the whole issue of, in this case, it's a husband and wife working in the business. There's other, you know, you got to be able to figure out how to separate some things and get along in that business environment. And it's unbelievable. Even in a small company with two or three people, communication is still like one of the number one issues.
I get the whole idea that communication. It's funny you would say that, because my wife and I have also been entrepreneurs. We've worked together. And what we discovered when we worked together was it was better for our marriage if we didn't work together. An important lesson learned. And I don't mind sharing that. I would speak in front of an audience and, you know, I would tell them right away what the pros and cons of being a married couple are working together and my experience with it. But that doesn't mean that another couple's could not make it work, because I have met people who are married and who do work in business together and they have a fantastic time throughout it. I'm not saying they don't have challenges, but it works.
Well, there's challenges to it. There's no question about it. And so those days when those challenges were surfacing, I would try to just be a calming influence that, hey, this is normal. Like, these decisions are not easy and you got to take the time to process them. Well, if you're so busy baking, yeah, or you have too many customers coming in so that you're constantly talking to them, which is a good thing, you just need to find that time. So one of the reasons I go out there, one of the ways I have for sure been able to help, is I go out there, and as soon as you open the door, this is a real perk for anybody working in a bakery. It smells so good.
I know. You just start to saliva. You just start drooling, eh? Yeah.
So I'm able to run the cash register and handle all the customers for a period of time, which frees up some of that time that they would be doing on a day that I'm not there, and allows them hopefully the time to think about new concepts or how are we going to promote this new product or new aspect of the business.
Or is there a new product that we can actually introduce to the business? Maybe there's something in the community, in this case, baked goods, that the community would really like, and there's an opportunity here, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. I was just, you had me starting to think about, you know, bread and donuts and cake and all sorts of stuff, making me want to drool a little.
Well, I do love it. And when I drive home with a little baking in my car, it smells good all the way home too.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. So I think I went out and had coffee with you. I think it was March. I'm not too sure, but
okay.
You told me you were doing this and I went, okay, I got to go check this place out, right? Because I'm your friend and I want to be supportive to yourself and your kids. So I drove out, and one of the things you told me was that you take baking orders from, I guess from Winnipeg or your friends or whatever, and when you're out there on a Friday or a Thursday helping out your family, you bring that stuff back with you.
Well, sure. It started with stuff for myself and then my brother and the family and friends of mine heard about it. And yeah, people have tried to support. It's one thing about, like, the challenge, bakery has its own challenges because you got to get there early in the morning. But the challenge of business in small communities, I mean, everybody, I think, can relate. There's only 750 people in Treherne.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure they have surrounding areas more than that, but still the number's not huge. So to get that volume and the consistency that you know how much to bake every day, they had to go through a process. Like they sold more on, you know, Fridays than they did on Wednesdays, for example.
So why don't we talk about the process of figuring out what you're going to sell, right, for a small business? I think that might work out. By the way, before we go on a break, what's the name of the bakery?
The Treherne Bakery.
No, of course, the Treherne Bakery. All right, this is Richard Lamford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, all. I'm hanging out today with John Hindle, and we're talking about his experience, anyway, with when a child, your kid, decides to buy a business, and then suddenly they may phone you up one day and they say, hey, I bought a business. And you start to realize that, well, maybe they might need some help. Or maybe they ask for it, maybe they don't. But how do you handle that as a parent, especially when you have life experience, whether in your career, maybe running your own business, or just with family thing overall? John, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about, ways you can help out. And one of the things that I know you do is the concept of taking orders now for friends and family members and bringing them back into Winnipeg. Dalton's business is in a small community, right? It's in Treherne, Manitoba. What's the population of Treherne?
It's between 700 and 800, I believe. It's a wonderful little community. I mean, it has a campground, it has a golf course, a swimming pool, high school. Like it, I think it's like a kind of a hub for some of the surrounding rural areas. But it's a wonderful, wonderful town. And let me tell you, the people love their bakery in town. This bakery's been around for a long time, 40 whatever years, like a long time. In fact, the coolest story, Richard, if I may,
go ahead.
When they opened the bakery, this guy poked his head in the door and said, hey, just wanted to wish you all the best. And I used to own the bakery here. In fact, he ran the bakery for over 30 years.
That's a long time.
And he still lives in Treherne. And I guess he looked around and he said, do you have any questions or anything of the building? Because he built some of the stuff that's in that building and ordered the equipment. And sure enough, they needed some guidance. And he actually rolled up his sleeves, put on an apron, washed his hands, and started helping them in the kitchen. And I love this gentleman because he helped my kids.
Of course.
And he did it didn't want any compensation. He just wanted to help them because this young couple was keeping his bakery in his mind, I'm sure, after all those years alive. And so because I can't help baking. I love eating, but baking, it's not my thing. I'm sorry.
Well, it's lovely to eat, especially when it's good food. It's interesting you would say that because officially in business, we would call that a part of a succession plan where you have the former generation agree to stick around for a year or two and help you out. But it sounds to me like because this is a small town, it's nothing like that. It's basically this guy just said, I used to own this place. Let me help you.
Yeah, like how wonderful is that?
I know.
And that whole small town, I mean, yes, there's not that many people, which so the market isn't as big as you might want and why businesses struggle in small towns. But the people that are there, they love this bakery. I mean, look, I think people like coming to Home Run Sports to buy their baseball equipment. And I know people love the Goldeyes, but I don't remember a lot of people like giving me a tip when they bought a baseball glove.
Yeah, yeah.
Out there, whatever their order comes to, it amazes me how some people, just give that to the kids, and they give a little tip.
Yeah,
I just think it just shows how much they're connected with the community and how if there's a big event out there, or if the town's running something in Canada Day, they had a special event, they're getting those sorts of orders for their hundreds of dozens of hamburger buns or whatever, and all that counts.
It does. It does count. In terms of your business experience, what are some of the things that you've been able to do besides the front counter stuff, but what are some of the things that you've been able to do to actually help out the small business?
Okay, well, sales and marketing are what I've always believed to be some of my strengths. And I've been able to they can just watch as I interact with people or customers. my kids are good at it too. It's not that they're not good at it.
No, they're very lovely people.
It's just that you learn things over the years when you've done sales for decades. You learn some tips that work. The bookkeeping and accounting issues, that's the same in pretty much any business. You have to have that. So, yes, I can't help them do the baking. And other than being a worker bee to do what jobs need to be done, these other aspects of running a business apply to any type of business. And that's where I've been able to help coach people in the past. And that's where I'm able to help them as well.
Yeah, and I find it interesting that you would say the books or the accounting, right? And I want to go back to this because I know from being in business for over 30 years in the consulting industry, I've worked for 40, right? But I mean, really, I think my career started 30 years ago. I know of working with a number of businesses that accounting or basic bookkeeping is not their strength. They tend to take on businesses and they don't understand the numbers, or they don't understand how the process is. And one of the things they do is it's the end of the year scramble, right? They don't really pay attention to the numbers, and that could hurt them.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And it's not, again, this isn't rocket science, but you need some kind of a system. Even if you're having an accountant do your books at the end of the year, you still need to have a system, or you're going to pay way more money than you need to pay because they have to sort it all out of the shoebox or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a system on the bookkeeping side of the business, how do you know if you're fully paid by people? How do you know what your receivables are?
Your payables. And so receivables being the money that's owed to you, payables being the money that you owe to people, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do you even price your product if you haven't computed all of the costs until you get to your final cost and then determine what you can sell it for? All of these things are basic principles.
Yeah.
But if you've never run a business, you haven't thought about things like that.
Yeah, and you might not. And so that's what I wanted to get to, right? I mean, I'm not saying that your son or your daughter-in-law don't know this stuff. I just think from a parent's perspective, right? When a child decides to either start their own business and or buy a company, there are certain things they're going to be really good at, and there's other things they may not be so good at. And I just from experience know that bookkeeping tends to be one that falls by the wayside, or maybe not understanding, as you're mentioning, and I'm just repeating this back to you, the actual cost of your products or your goods sold. You know, just understanding that from a small business perspective really pays off for how you do things.
For sure. So I was just able to ask some questions and then they could figure out the answers. But I think me asking a couple of questions helped them get the answers to those questions, which then helped them make decisions.
What is it like dealing with suppliers in a small bakery business?
Well,
I'm just curious.
It's a challenge because you're small.
Yeah.
So you have to tie into their minimums. You have to kind of take whenever, and they don't live in Winnipeg either. It's not like you can drive over to the place and pick up some product. They come out there once a month. That's when you have to order. So you've got to get organized and plan in advance, are you going to need certain products?
Yeah.
So it is true. One of the things I've been able to do is old dad has driven over to some of these suppliers in Winnipeg, packed up some stuff that they needed and went out to visit the grandkids. While I was there, I dropped off the bakery supplies. So I've been able to help in those little ways as they were learning the ropes and coming up with those systems that simplify your life so much when you get them.
When you get there. I partly ask this because I think this might be a challenge for a lot of small business. So I grew up in small community and parents owned shoe and clothing store. Well, once a quarter, the person who you bought your shoes from that you would sell to the community would show up with their truck and you'd go in and place all your orders and you had to figure out, you know, 6 months mm-hmm. from now when you finally got the product, what you needed to sell. So to me, I think it's the same challenge. I mean, whether there's a restaurant in the community or a hotel in the community, or you mentioned a golf course or whatever it is, I would suspect that they all have the same challenge when it comes to figuring out exactly what to order and what to put out there, because they're not going to go down the street and buy the stuff to sell.
No, for sure. I mean, they all have to go through this process. It's just when they started off in their business, I'm sure they had challenges of how much do I order, how far in advance does it have to be, and all that sort of thing. And although they had some guidance from our previous baker, they still had to figure it out for themselves.
Sure, sure.
And what products were they going to push, say, so that you needed more volume in certain areas and changing price points or whatever they had to do. It was fun. For me, see, that's just fun.
I know. I know.
And some days maybe they didn't think it was fun, but I was having fun.
You're having a good time. you love business. We got to take a short break, John.
Sure.
When we come back, I think what we'll talk about is the business and the community. This is Richard Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with John Hindle today. John being the proud father of a son who owns a bakery in Treherne, Manitoba. I know you're getting a lot of town recognition today. John, during the break, you and I were talking a little bit about more about community and the idea of this could be, you know, Canada town anywhere, right?
For sure.
You know, because there's so many towns in our great country that have under 1,000 people. How does a business really, a small business, from your experience now and working with Dalton, really start to connect with the community?
Well, you have to get out in the community. There's certain charitable causes they have that you're donating some baking to. They have a small chamber of commerce. I know Dalton's been to a meeting of that. I think he's also missed a meeting because he's been too busy working baking. And you got to try and figure out how to do that as much as possible because it is a small network of people. And I know when they at the beginning just wanted to get stabilized,
sure,
before they tried to commit to a bigger customer. And it took them a few months to work out some kinks and realize how much they had to order and prepare and bake and so on. But then the local co-op store, when they went over to talk to them, they were more than happy to carry their product. And they have longer hours. So if the bakery's not open on a certain day or its hours are they're closed in the evening, this store is open. So people can still get the Treherne Bakery products at the local co-op store. They charge a few cents more, but they're still supporting that local business, which is, it isn't on the minds of a lot of people out there that they want to support the local businesses. And as long as you give them a good reason to do that.
Yeah.
And I think the kids' product is fabulous. Like I have only heard good things about their product.
I think also I was visiting a restaurant out there, and I don't recall the name of it. I apologize for that. But we were talking to the waitress and mentioning, I was mentioning about the bakery and stuff like this. And I guess some of the product was actually then being used for some of the events at that, I think, if I recall correctly.
No, it's true. And anytime they have a big event out there, they're using the local bakery. The golf course is using all of their products. And it's, you need that. You need that. You need everything that you can get in your armament when you're running a small business. So anything I could do to help them stabilize ordering, or they know when I'm coming in advance and so on, and they can prepare for that, I think has helped them. And that's all I want to do is help them. This has been a great idea in their mind. Like some decisions your kids make over the years, you're maybe not sure is the best decision. This decision, even though it kind of came out of the blue, you know, my son had a couple of young children and all of a sudden is thinking in a different way.
Yeah.
And to develop a business that he can stabilize some his economics and his family. I mean, if you're not wanting to help support that, then I think you missed the boat somewhere, because that's what I'm trying to do to help him.
Isn't that, though, part of the idea of community, though? Like in a small town, okay? And again, I'm talking, anywhere, Canada.
For sure.
Right? Isn't that, though, part and parcel of what a community is responsible to do, is to actually support its own economic system, its own small businesses, so that everybody in the town has the opportunity to be successful?
Well, for sure.
I know, it's not really a question. I'm giving you an opinion.
You're right on. And they have that from local people, which, I mean, you couldn't possibly survive without that.
Yes.
And now, can you expand this? Is there certain other businesses or organizations that can use your product and they just hadn't thought about it? And how far away from Treherne can you expand to get that? I know they've got wedding orders and funeral orders and things like that from surrounding towns. And all of that is good.
Yeah. You just figure out
how, you know, when you get a big order like that, they have to get there a little earlier or whatever. But those are things that you can figure out if you've got the business and you can make it work.
Yeah. Again, it sounds to me like I like the idea of a bakery because this sounds to me like there's, even though it's small, there's a lot of moving pieces, right? I mean, first of all, I mean, if you cook at home, you know what it's like to, if you follow a recipe, you know what it's like to go through a recipe book and all the steps and everything, and then how long it takes to prepare food and everything. Now, take that and bring it to sort of the next level where you're actually running a company that, in essence, manufactures foods, right? Because, I mean, that's what it is. It's a manufacturing business. It's a process business. You know, and then now take that to the next level where there's a whole group of logistics involved. I would think that there's some key challenges with that.
Well, there is. I mean, my least favorite thing in Home Run Sports was inventory.
Okay.
But my aluminum bats didn't go bad. If I had too many, I could sell them the next summer. Well, clearly you can't do that with baked products. So you need to be ordering or be baking, I should say, in the right quantities so that they're continually being sold off the shelves so that it's fresh, because that's why people love going to bakeries, because it's...
You're making me want to eat.
Yeah.
out of curiosity, now you've been doing this for a while, helping out and everything. What are some of the best sellers from this particular bakery?
Well, ever since I got there, the cinnamon buns have been like a huge seller for me. I guess bread's probably their number one seller.
Sure. Staple.
But I'm more interested in some of the treats that I'm not supposed to eat as much of as I once did. But you got to have a cinnamon bun once in a while. Come on.
There you go. If somebody wanted a cinnamon bun in Treherne, Manitoba, where would they go?
They'd go to the Treherne Bakery. And if you're going to order a whole bunch, you could phone them. Should I give them the number?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, it's 723-2466.
And that's
area code 204, of course. But you can look it up. They're on Facebook. They try to talk, you know, and connect with the community that way. It's, you drive into Treherne and you drive right by the bakery. You have to.
Okay.
Anyways, it's been fun, Richard. Thanks for talking about this. And like I really want to help them. Sometimes I can do that easily. Sometimes it takes a little patience. But it's all good.
So I got some questions for you. Off cuff. This is the John Hindle hot seat time. All right. And so I'm curious about something that, you know what, something you're really proud of right now in life.
I'm proud that my friend and I did so well in Kansas City at the North American Bridge Championships, because that was an unbelievable challenge to face. And it just started a few years ago that we started to face it. So that's something. I mean, I don't want to be corny. I mean, I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud of my grandkids and everything else. But I'm...
Yeah, you're a big bridge player.
I have become a big bridge player, which I find fascinating, keeping my brain active.
If there was something in your life you could eliminate, what would it be?
Stress.
Okay, fair enough.
And ever since the heart attack, which is coming up, actually, Richard, is 4 years ago, almost to the day.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I made the decision then, because I wasn't in a risk category for that heart attack, but I've had a lot of stress in my life. Yeah. I mean, everybody has, but I always thought I handled stress well, but I still had to handle it. So now I've tried to eliminate stress. And sometimes I'm better at that than others. Sometimes I say no, which I'm not good at saying no to people.
You're used to doing. You know, John, what a show we've been having. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what might it be?
Hey, if your kids can use some help, whether it's easy or hard, it's absolutely worth doing, because... you know, you're proud of them for putting in that effort.
Sure. Once a parent, always a parent. John, thank you for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it. You know what? If you have a thought or a question about this show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Heck, even if you have an idea for a guest or a show you'd like me to do. And I want you to remember something: to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.